I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. We're going to discuss this new poll about what the different parties care about here in a moment. Some dude married co-joined twins, and I have mixed emotions about the whole thing. We have asked Dr. Jesse question about everything from the American Indians to politics today to cannibals to so much more. I want to begin here, though. Quinnipiac poll comes out yesterday. It's just one of these polls where you're asking the generic voters in each party what their issues are. If you identified in as GOP, your number one issue is immigration, 52%. Your number two issue is economy. If you're an independent, your number one issue is immigration. Your number two issue is economy. Okay? So those are very, very valid things for people to care about. Obviously, countries being invaded, economy's bad, people can't afford things. If you're a Democrat, your number one issue is preserving democracy. And your number two issue is climate change. Now, do you understand why I say the average American Democrat, they really are insane? As in, they exist entirely in a world that is not real. And it's wild observing that. Climate change isn't even real. Man-made climate change isn't even real. And that's the number two issue for American Democrats. Preserving democracy, what does that even mean? Well, you know what it means. That's just anti-Donald Trump talk. That's all that is. Well, we are democracy, the death of democracy, the enemies of democracy, but we're not even a democracy. We're a representative republic. So the top two issues for Democrats aren't even real. Again, I don't take any pleasure in the fact that the country is separating. I do not celebrate it. It's a horrible thing. It's not what I want. Hopefully it's not what you want. I wanted everyone to stay together. But, okay, one side cares about immigration and the economy. The other one, preserving democracy and climate change. You ever heard of a Venn diagram where you have the two circles and a little bit of it overlaps, right? And then you figure out the overlapping part in the middle. What's the Venn diagram between Republicans, between anyone on the right, and Democrats in the country? Where's the overlap? There's none. One lives in a world that is of completely made up. A world of make-believe. How do you deal with that? And look, we were talking last hour about, you know, these women are now getting punched in New York. It's freaking horrible. They're getting socked in the face. You know, that New York's a disaster. And we were talking about how I need to know who you vote for before I decide how much I care, before I decide how heartbreaking it is. And got a bunch of pushback for that. Most people agreed, but we got a bunch of pushback on that for a while. I mean, Jesse, that's not very nice. We got to win them over to our side. We've been trying that forever. It is time for some tough love now. It is time for tough love. I've used this example before, but it's true. And in fact, this pretty much happened to me. When I first ran for Congress, remember I ran for Congress twice and lost twice. I know I do stupid things all the time. But when I first ran for Congress, I was killing myself on the campaign trail. I knew I had to outwork everybody. So I was at every event. I was doing everything. And I was not taking care of my health physically at all. And I got fat. Now, I'm 6'8". So when I get fat, fat looks different on 6'8 than it does on 5'8". You know, it's all spread out over the body, but definitely fat. I put on something like 35 pounds. It was always in the car, always fast food, never working out, didn't lift, and I got fat. And my old man was living, my folks were living in Montana at the time. I was in Arizona where I was running for Congress. And my dad saw me for the first time in something like 6 months after I'd been running. And he said, "Geez, you're fat. You need to get to the gym. Good grief, son. What's wrong with you?" Now, does he hate me or does he love me? He loves me. He loves me. If I greet both my parents and I've put on 35 pounds and mom tells me how handsome I am and how that I've never looked better, "You're just so handsome." And dad says, "You absolute tub of goo, go to the gym and lose some weight." Which parent loved me more in that moment? Dad did. We've had enough mommy time in this country. It's time for daddy. It's time for daddy. We have got to start being direct with these people. We have for so long coddled them, tried to be nice. You're dealing with someone who is insane. You're dealing with a human being who lives in a world of make-believe. You must pull them out of it by any means necessary. Pull them out of it or defeat them. But what you cannot do is step halfway into that world and meet them in it, because now you're in a world of make-believe. You must stay in reality. They can choose to join you or not. And we want them to join us, right? We do. I want you to step out of that preserving democracy. You're an idiot. Man-made climate change. You are a nut job and you don't even know it. Step out of that world. All right, let's get to some Ask Dr. Jesse questions. El Sombrero, I was thinking back a couple weeks when you had a discussion about the Aztecs and some of their cannibalistic practices, and it got me thinking. Do you think cannibals enjoy eating people? When they brought in a fresh batch of cooking, were people fighting over which piece did they get? Did they toss the fingers and toes to the kids for snacks? It's so dark. What say you? You know, I am not the world's expert on every single culture. By a million miles, I'm not an expert, right? I'm an idiot. I went to community college. But I will tell you, the cannibalism that I've seen from any book that I've read or documentary I've watched, almost all of it has been centered around some kind of demonic religious practice of those people. It was almost always a religious ceremony. All the cannibalism I've seen in history was either A, religious ceremony, or B, starvation. So it was a requirement. Now, I'm sure there are examples. Again, I'm not the world's expert. I don't remember ever reading something about someone, about a people just eating other people just for the joy of it. And I don't know whether God made us with an aversion to eating people. I suspect he probably did, but it's always been religious or starvation. Anyway, Dr. J. Steele, I understand we must have a valid prescription to obtain potentially dangerous drugs, but what about eyeglasses? If my eyeglasses prescription is outdated, opticians cannot legally fill it even if my vision hasn't worsened since my last examination. Why? I can go to the dollar store and buy glasses over the counter all day long without a prescription, and that's perfectly legal. What's the difference? I don't know. I'm not a medical expert, but I do know that we have way too many regulations for everything in our society. Way too many rules. And I'm not the type of person who does that. You know, I'm not the type of person who looks at this country or a country like Europe. Quit. I know it's a continent or Europe or something like that, and says, "Wow, they do things so much better over there." But there are a bunch of countries in the world where a bunch of our basic prescriptions, you just go in and buy it. Just go buy it. And if you get armed by it, Too bad, so sad, but you can go buy it. Look, America's way overregulated. Jesse, a banger is something great. Other words similar are fire, bro-cooked, and slaps. The music at the beginning of every hour has made my head hurt from how much I headbang. What is the song called? Thank you for the show from me and my dad in Montana. I'd be honored if you said my name. It's August. August. Okay, first of all, August. I know what a banger is. I'm not that old. I know what a banger is. Although it probably is for the best if you, whenever you young kids email the show, if you do give me a heads up on what exactly you're talking about. My youngest son used the word Riz yesterday, and I just about popped his head right off of his shoulders. I said, what does that mean? And this is what he does to me, too, because he thinks it's funny. He says, Dad, that's really Riz. And I'll say, what does that mean? And he'll use the same word back to me as an explanation. It's Riz. And he does it because it drives me nuts. What, Chris? What's that? That's actually a good idea, Chris. Chris thinks I should start using it back to him like I know what it means. That's a good call, especially because I embarrass him all the time anyway on purpose. Dang it, that's a good call. All right, anyway, the song, August, I'm assuming you're talking about the song to open the show. The band is called Greta Van Fleet, and the song is Highway Tune. Highway Tune. All right, it's a good jam. Definitely a good jam. Real Led Zeppelin-esque band, which is right up my alley. All right, let's do a little history of civilian casualties. Maybe even talk a little bit about the conquest of American Indians. But before we get to that, someone has a theory about the Baltimore Bridge, and I think we should address that before I nerd out on history, before I get to any of that. Animals are on our streets. Deadly people, violent people filling up our country. You know it. I know it. What have you done to protect yourself? Do you know for a fact that if a bad man meets you in a parking lot today, a bad man who's known nothing but violence, do you know for a fact that you can stop him from hurting you? That's what Byrna pistol launchers are about. They're non-lethal. So they're legal in all 50 states, no permits, no background checks needed. They'll send it right to your door. They shoot these pepper balls or tear gas balls. I love the tear gas balls. You ever been tear gassed? I've been peppered and tear gassed. They're both freaking horrible. Or kinetic rounds, these hard plastic rounds. You don't even have to hit someone directly with it. Shoot the ground in front of them and it's effective. That'll help when you're scared. These things work. Over 14,000 4.5-star reviews for a reason. Over 500,000 sold. BYRNA. Byrna.com/Jesse gets you 10% off. Go get a Byrna pistol launcher, all right? Byrna.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can email the show whatever you want. Love, hate, death threats, Ask Dr. Jesse questions. Email those into jesse@jessekellyshow.com. All right, we're going to tackle this story really quickly, and then we're going to get back to the Ask Dr. Jesse questions. And we're going to get through it really quick. I'm not 100% sure how I feel about it. The headline is this. Co-joined twin Abby Hensel of TLC's, apparently she's on TV, Abby and Brittany, she's now married to an Army veteran. Okay, so they're co-joined twins. They have one body. There are two heads. So Abby and Brittany are two separate people. Their heads are separate. They're wiping the same butt. All right, the bodies are the same. And this Army veteran, he married only one of them. Now, I have some questions. I'm not going to ask any of those questions here on the air. I can see some benefits. For sure. What, Chris? I'm talking, okay? I can see some benefits. Look, they're not going to eat. They're not going to break the bank eating, right? I know there's two mouths, but there's one stomach. So there's that. Some other benefits you could probably think of. I can certainly see some drawbacks. How many plane seats do they need? Imagine two women telling you where to park every time you went somewhere. Two of them riding in the same passenger seat. When you're kissing one, you're only married to one. What's the other one doing? Do you think she's on her phone? But if she's, now hear me out, Chris. If she's on her phone, well, they share a hand, right? So that would mean like you're making out with your wife while she's on her phone. Like her hands would be behind you. What, Chris? I'm just trying to game this out, man. Don't tell me they haven't had to have these talks. I'm not judging anybody. I'm asking. And I'm not all about polygamy, but aren't there situations where you kind of have to be married to both of them? Really? What, Chris? I don't know how many birth certificates they have, Chris. We can't ask stuff like that. I think that's two, right? Two heads. You know, maybe. I know it's one body. I get it's kind of a Hydra situation. I understand that. You know what? We're just going to move on. Like I said, I can see a lot of drawbacks. Some benefits, for sure. For sure. But you know what? Let's get to the questions. Dear Dong Medicine Woman, even though it does appear that the Baltimore Bridge tragedy was caused by malfunction on board the ship, the mechanical and electrical failures could have been a result of sabotage. And based on a lot of other incidents over the last couple years, train derailments, food processing plant fires, refinery shutdowns, etc., I can't help but feel there's at least a 50% chance that it was sabotage. What are your thoughts? Okay. This is an actual interesting point. This is something we talked about on the show a lot when it was happening. Remember over the course of just a few months when all these food processing plants went up in flames? Do you remember that? And there were a lot of trains that were derailed. It wasn't just East Palestine, Ohio. There were a lot of train derailments all happening at once. And it was odd how often they were happening. What do I think about all this? Well, see, here's the problem. And this is what we've discussed a lot on the show about reliance on our institutions and things like that. I don't know. And you don't know. And the truth is, we will never know. I've told you my thoughts on the bridge coming down. I've talked to friends I do trust. It does look like it's just one of those things where one thing went wrong and then another thing went wrong and the wind blew this way and this and that. And those things do happen. But could it be sabotage or terrorism or something? It could be. We don't know. We can't ever get a straight answer on anything. What I do know is there are two different things happening in the country right now, and both of those things are going to result in more accidents in situations like this. And those two things are diversity, this DEI stuff. Remember, diversity is the death of everything. The second you start focusing on anything other than merit when you hire anybody for any reason, you will get a worse product or service, whatever it is. It will get worse when you stop focusing on merit, period, end of story. Don't care if that offends you. So that's one of the two things that's happening. Another thing that's happening, though, outside of the world of culture war stuff, is a lot of our knowledgeable people who have wisdom, knowledge, they're retiring, and we don't have enough younger people going into those fields. So we're essentially getting a brain drain as people retire, as people leave. And this is not, this brain drain concept is not at all unique to America or to this day and age. This is something society has dealt with before. In fact, you know what? Let's talk about that brain drain in a little bit more detail in just a moment. Before we talk about the brain drain, let's talk about your brain. Do you feel like you're in a good mood a lot? Or I guess I should ask it this way. Are you down a lot? Are you down sometimes kind of inexplicably? There's nothing bad happened that day, but you're just kind of down in the dumps. When's the last time you got your levels checked? How many natural herbal supplements are you taking for that mind of yours? It's the only mind you're ever going to have. I take a male vitality stack from Chalk for my mind's sake. They have female vitality stacks as well. Gentlemen, you're down because your T levels are low. Raise those T levels back up and start feeling like $1 million again. Your body, your mind, they have a huge discount for the month of March on subscriptions for the lifetime of the subscription. 90 days is all I ask. Take it for 90 days. You don't feel markedly better? Cancel it. I want you to cancel it. So do they. 90 days. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. Keep that mind working sharp. Let's talk about the brain drain next.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. Both Nate and I are journalists who moonlight as poker players. We've both won, and I have to say lost, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing poker. And poker is a lens that we're going to use to approach this entire show, because poker isn't just about playing cards. It's actually about how to make good decisions. It's an entire framework for thinking about the world.
In addition to poker, we'll be talking about the wide world of gambling, so sports betting, for example, plus the news, politics, it is an election year, and personal decisions, too.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
Tune into Risky Business every Thursday.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Don't forget, if you missed any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, iTunes. Before we get back to the brain drain thing, back to the co-joined twins, the dude married one of them. Jewish producer Chris just asked if you have to get two gifts for a birthday. Well, why would you have to get two gifts? One's your wife, the other's your sister-in-law. Now, granted, your sister-in-law is going to have to watch your wife open the gift, but whatever the gift is, doesn't she benefit from it too? I mean, it doesn't matter what. I mean, I guess you probably couldn't get her any like lingerie or something like that. You know what? We're going to get back. Let's talk about the brain drain and everything right now in society. We were discussing about how things are failing. Trains are derailing. I didn't mean for that to rhyme. That was really cool. Planes are falling out of the sky. Bridges are collapsing, so on and so forth. Well, there's an aspect to crumbling things around us right now that we don't discuss enough. That's way outside of politics and cultural stuff, but it is real. Skills, critical skills. We like to imagine, at least I do. I don't want to put words in your mouth. I like to imagine, or at least maybe it's just a simplistic way of viewing life, that what people know now, that it will always be passed on. Of course, the next generation will know what the previous generation knew, right? But that's not necessarily how it works. If you don't pass something down on purpose, it doesn't just automatically happen. Me with my sons. I know how to shoot guns. I am not a weapons expert or anything like that, and I'd never pretend to be. I'm not some fancy schmancy force recon Marine or Navy. I'm nothing like that at all. I just grew up with a father who loved to hunt and shoot. And so from my earliest age, from when I was walking, I was going hunting with my dad. Rabbit hunting with a toy gun in my hands. That's how young I started. And then he had me in hunter safety classes immediately. And then I was always shooting a rifle or something. So I know how to shoot guns. And then the Marines obviously helped improve that even more. So again, not a weapons expert. I know my way around firearms. I can shoot them. My sons don't automatically get that because I know how. If I don't take the time, and I have taken the time, but if I don't take the time and teach them weapons safety, weapons maintenance, how to shoot, what not to do, how to stand, if I don't purposely tell them that, then it doesn't matter how many skills I have. It wouldn't matter if I was Delta Force. My boys don't know because I didn't take the time. Now expand that to a society. We're losing welders. Did you know that? We're going to lose the ability to weld in our society. One division, I forget what kind it is, of welder, the average age is 63. That's really bad. Not because a 63-year-old welder is bad, but that tells you that young men are not going into the field. They're not learning these skills. You can look throughout history at skills, amazing skills that are gone. Architecture is actually a great example of this, and I'm not an architect, okay? So don't, I'm not an architect, I'm not an artist. It's just a fascinating, I read a book on it once, it was very fascinating, about things like the Sistine Chapel, or you've probably seen pictures, or maybe you've been in an ancient European church of some kind, you know, 500 years old. We were just in, Cologne. I think it was Cologne. Cologne, yeah, we were in Cologne, Germany, and they had a church there. It was 500 or 600 years old. And you walk in and you marvel at the designs and everything. And people ask questions now when they walk in places like that. Why don't they build things like that today? And the truth often is, we don't know how. And you don't think in that way because you think, well, they were ancient. Surely we know more than they did. They didn't even have power tools and stuff like that. No, there weren't. It's not like back in the day, everyone could do that. Even back in the day, that was a particular, specific set of skills. And if you didn't apprentice there, if enough people didn't learn from the men who could do that and women who could do that, then those skills don't just appear in the next generation by osmosis. In our society, in many, 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 many different fields, there is a brain drain. Look, we talk about piloting, and obviously a lot of that DEI crap comes into play when it comes to airline safety. But I have a bunch of pilots who listen to this show. Pilots are almost always hard right guys, at least in my experience. They just are. They're hard right guys, and they'll email the show. And they talk a lot about the DEI stuff and stuff like that, too. But a lot of them will tell me, Jesse, we're forced to retire at a certain age. Pilots are not, you know, you don't see 70-year-old pilots. It's not allowed. They're forced to retire at a certain age. And they say, Jesse, what you're seeing right now, a lot of it is the old experienced pilots, they're retiring, and the young ones don't know squat. They just don't know. Skills, critical skills, especially blue-collar, work-with-your-hand, trade-type skills, we are losing them. We're slowly but surely losing them in society. I made a comment about the Baltimore Bridge, about how I don't understand why the bridge going down would close the harbor for months and months and months, because that's what they said it would do. Now, don't get me wrong. I know the bridge is closed because there is no more bridge. And I understand that the harbor has to be closed for a time because there's a bunch of debris in the way. You have to get it out of the way before you can move ships in and out of there. I understand all that. I get that. What I didn't get was why it would take months to carve up that stuff in the water. You know, you're going to have to split a lot of that stuff up and winch it out of there. Get it out of the harbor so ships can move. And I had a bunch of people who did know reach out to me and simply explain, Jesse, you don't understand the facilities, the men who know how to do this, the facilities, the equipment. It's not just available anywhere. It's not like there's an endless supply of it. There aren't that many things that are out there that can get rid of that stuff. We don't like to think about that, and especially as Americans, and I'm not like dogging on Americans. You know I wouldn't do that. But we have existed, you and I have existed in a country, if you're an American, you've existed in a country where we've had so much. There's always been plenty. You, me, we've always lived in a world where you walk in the grocery store and the shelves are full. If I go to the grocery store, you know how much I love my Frito-Lay jalapeno cheddar chip cheese. If I go to the grocery store and I go to pick up a can of that and they're out of just that, I'm just aghast. What? How could they be out of my I don't understand. That's one stupid little unhealthy product. People in other nations around the world have grown up where you might show up at the store and they might not have meat. There's no beef today. Sorry, check back next week. We didn't get our shipment in. But we because we've been so blessed by God in this country, and we've enjoyed the fruits of free market systems and our natural resources, and just we everything came up aces for us as Americans. Everything. It's why I feel so blessed. Yes, it's all kind of going to crap on us, but I feel so blessed. Everything came up aces, and we're used to just having everything we need at all times. Extremely poor people, maybe that's you right now, have air conditioning, mostly. They have heat, a way to heat their home inside of their home. Indoor plumbing, running water. Unless you live in Flint, Michigan, you can go to the faucet and drink the water. We don't understand how blessed we've had it. And as a lot of our skilled and skilled workers retire and die, those skills disappear. And that's part of what we're seeing too. Okay, let's move on and talk about something different here. That's enough of that yuckiness. Let's talk about civilian casualties in war, the conquest of the American Indians. Oh, all this stuff will be spicy. Let's also talk about your sheets. We need to have a talk about your sheets. Your sheets, unless they're Giza Dream sheets, you're cheating yourself. You're not cheating me, you're cheating yourself. You spend a third of your life in bed. MyPillow created the greatest sheets ever. Everyone knows it by now. Giza Dream Sheets. I'm sure you've heard of them many, many times before. They are unbelievable. It's not just that they're soft. They breathe so you don't wake up with a pool of sweat in the middle of your chest. And they're on sale right now for $59.98. That's for a queen size set. King size set's just 10 bucks more. Get a good set and set. In fact, get a couple sets of sheets right now. Free shipping right now. My slippers are 60% off right now. Right now is the time to go to MyPillow. MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener special square and use the promo code Jesse. Or call 800-845-0544. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. What did you just say about this song, Chris? This is an incredible song. You don't like Linda Ronstadt, man? What is wrong with you? There is seriously something. What? I've never questioned you more than I question you right now. Don't you find her voice to be awesome? You know what? I'm not even talking to Chris right now. I don't want to talk to Chris anymore. I want to talk to you. Jesse, what's been the role of civilian casualties in warfare over time? It feels like things changed in the world wars, where we went from soldiers meeting on battlefields to bombing cities to dust. And now back to precision bombing and so on and so forth. What's your take? Well, this is an age-old debate. I shouldn't say necessarily age-old. It really came to the forefront in World War II. World War I, it was there somewhat, but World War II, it was there. Here's the deal. Civilians have always suffered during war. They just have. Like, you can think back to an ancient siege, right? Lay siege to somewhere. The Mongols laying siege to Baghdad. Okay, well, it's not just soldiers in there who are suffering. Everyone's starving. Everyone's dying. It's bad. It's really, really bad. So civilians have always suffered. But actually attacking the civilians en masse on purpose, that is not that common in ancient times. Because as you said, the warriors would gear up, meet on the battlefield. Let's have a big battle or two. Once one side has decided it's had enough, you come together. Come to an agreement, you pay your reparations, you do your whatever, and you move on. But in World War II, there was a change. And the change, the thinking was this, and it's not necessarily inaccurate, but the thinking was, okay, we'll make it about Germany. Germany, they have this huge war machine, they have this incredible military, all this armor, the tanks and stuff like that. I was going to call it armor, but I have to remember to use different language. They have all these tanks and things like that, armored vehicles. They have planes and things like that. Well, where are these things coming from? Where are the munitions coming from? The army itself is not making them. Who's making them? The civilians are making them. at the various factories throughout Germany and then other countries as Germany was expanding. Hey, we're going to take your factory here, take your factory there. Remember, Stalin, when the Soviet Union was being invaded, actually it was a pretty crafty move by that piece of trash. He essentially tore down his factories in the Western Soviet Union, broke them down, took all the equipment, and shipped them all east, not just so he could continue to make things in the Soviet Union, but so the Nazis didn't gain access to those critical factories that could make tanks and planes and things like that. He knew that that was depriving them of something. Okay, so look, it's not debatable. Civilians are helping in the war effort. It's not debatable. They're making the food, the bullets, the everything else. It's not debatable. But what is debatable is the morality of attacking those civilians, of going after them. And we have done this. Look, nations do this. I'm not at all bad-mouthing America, but in World War II, it really ramped up. Britain did it. We did it. Look, obviously, the bad guys did it. Germany, Japan, they did it a lot. But look, we laid Japan to waste their cities. Everyone knows about Hiroshima and Nagasaki. We bombed out virtually every major Japanese city. There were very few, Kyoto, a couple others. There were very few who avoided getting bombed out. But Kyoto almost got an atom bomb on it if America hadn't stepped in and decided they didn't want to bomb that one out. But Germany, we can comfort ourselves by saying, well, we're trying to bomb the factory. I'm not trying to bomb the schoolhouse. I'm trying to bomb the factory. But the reality is when you're dropping bombs from thousands and thousands and thousands of feet in the air with wind and everything else being what it is, these are not precision guided bombs. You go open up the bomb bay doors on a B-17 Flying Fortress and drop a bunch of bombs down on, quote, a factory, you're going to hit a lot of things that are not the factory. And in fact, you might not hit the factory at all. It happened very, very often. You might just bomb the school and the hospital next door, and it might, let's be honest, might be full of women and kids. We, the United States of America, have bombed schools. We have. That was how that war was done. I don't have any thoughts on it beyond this. We love to think that war is just about good versus evil. And obviously, and oftentimes it can be that. But the truth is, war is terrible all the time. And innocent people die all the time. And my philosophy on it, honestly, it's fairly similar to Sherman's philosophy on it. I can see everyone in the South yelling at the radio right now. Oh, quit. I love your generals too. But Sherman, he essentially said, look, war is miserable. It's horrible. It's hell. So we need to do the worst possible things we can do in order to bring about a quick end to the war. Instead of making it long, let's make it as short as possible. And so he does things like burn his way through the South and tear up rail lines and stuff like that. And if you're in the North and you're one of these people who has an infant's understanding of the Civil War and all you get is North good, South bad, then maybe you love that. But the truth is that's women and children dying. Not slave owners either. Yeah, I'm sure maybe you got a couple of them, but most of those people didn't own any slaves. You're starving women and children to death. They're dying of exposure, and it's awful. Morality, however you want to define it, can be difficult to come by during wartime. I don't have any thoughts on it beyond that, but this is part of the reason. Look, now that we're having this conversation, this is part of the reason why I speak so often against the idea of civil war. Even though I fully acknowledge we are breaking apart, and I think we're going to get a divorce, and I know all these things. Man, you just don't want to experience what those people have experienced, all right? All right, now, let's move on and talk about some other things. Let's talk about that specifically. Someone wants to know, is it time to start a militia? I'll tell you my thoughts on that in a moment. Before we get to that, let's do this. Let's take care of our puppies. Let's take care of our dogs. Your dog does not get nutrition from dog food. We think they do. That's the problem. We think that we've got the special blend for our dog. And no, no, he gets extra special stuff from this blend. But why do you think all dog food is brown? Your dog's food is brown, isn't it? Why do you think that is? Brown things are dead. They killed everything in your dog's food at the factory so the food would last longer on the shelf. We feed our dogs empty calories their entire lives. And we wonder why we're always at the vet. We wonder why they die at 10 instead of 15. Start pouring Rough Greens on your dog's food. All natural nutritional supplement with all the vitamins and minerals and probiotics and everything your dog could ever want. Go to roughgreens.com/Jesse or call them 833-33-MY-DOG. Start giving your dog real nutrition. All right? All right. The militia and the Romans versus the Mongols and so much more coming up next.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And, of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.